Well, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we finished off our series, closed out our series we've been calling My Story. And we have been hearing just different, really, stories from people in our church, looking at stories in the scripture and seeing how all of history is God's story, that everyone's personal stories, everybody's personal histories are part of that bigger narrative that God is writing, and that the same God who changed people's lives in the scriptures is the same God that changed people's lives today. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this past Sunday, we got to hear from Carrie Bumpers. Carrie is at our Lewis Center campus, and she shared just really honestly about her childhood and not having, I believe it was both mom or dad in the picture, and living with her grandma. And there was just a lot of hurt there, and a lot of, you know, she talked about having to stifle some desires that she had for a mom, for greater intimacy, and sort of deadened those over a long period of time. And yet, with all the suffering, with all the difficulty, with all that pain and hurt, coming to a place where she encountered Jesus and Jesus saved her, and she's learning to give those things over to the Lord, and learning that that intimacy that she needs and so desires, that longing is met in Christ, in knowing who she is and whose she is. And she quoted from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul says that God, he's talking about the thorn in his side, that he pleads with the Lord to take it away. And God says, no, my power is made perfect in weakness, right? My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so what we did in hearing Carrie's story and looking at 2 Corinthians 12 is we took some time through the morning really to talk pretty at length about suffering and about the place of suffering and the purpose of suffering in the believer's life. And we really looked at all the promises of God, Romans 5 and Romans 8 and 2 Corinthians 4 and James 1, and talking about how, you know, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of various kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance then leads us to maturity, right, in Christ. And Paul telling us in Romans 8 that God works all things to the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And he goes on in verse 29 and says that God calls us and predestines us to be conformed to the image of his son. And so we talked about how, like a clay in the potter's hand, right, we are in the hands of the Father, and he is shaping us to be more like Jesus. And he uses suffering to do that, trials and difficulties and pain. And he doesn't promise us explanations. He promises us his presence, and he promises us that there's a purpose for it, that he is shaping us. And we can take such comfort in knowing, man, I'm in the Father's hands, and he is shaping me to be more like Jesus. This is going to result in his glory, his strength showing up in my weakness, his goodness showing up in the dark season of the soul, the gospel shining more brightly because of this. And it's going to result in his glory and in my good. And then we talked also at length about, you know, just that it's not just we hold on to these promises. We hold on to these promises. We recognize there's meaning to everything we're going through. Everything is a Father filtered, right? This is where Rick Warren says it, Father filtered. Everything in your life filtered by the Father. But we also talked about how, you know, the promise of God's presence in those moments, he comforts us. Jesus not only suffered for us at the cross, but he also suffers with us. I want to read to you a quick excerpt from a chapter called How Could a Loving God Allow So Much Suffering? This is from Rebecca McLaughlin's book, Confronting Christianity. And she says this: we've all had the experience of being comforted by someone who does not truly understand what we're going through, and it is often unsatisfying. But Jesus is no remote deity, watching suffering from a safe distance. He is the God who inhabits our suffering. The prophet Isaiah calls the Messiah a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, Isaiah 53:3. And we see in the Gospels how Jesus is moved with compassion for suffering people. This compassion goes beyond sympathy. Jesus does not just feel sorry for us and our weaknesses and pain. He takes that agony on himself. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Isaiah continues, "He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. In this prophecy, grief, suffering, and sickness are rolled up together with sin and guilt and loaded onto the Messiah's back. And when Jesus comes, he carries that load. He bears the moral weight of guilt and sin in our place, but he also bears the heartbreak of our suffering. Jesus holds us close as we lament. He weeps with us as we weep. He knows the end of the story, when he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. But this does not stop him from cleaving to us in our pain. In fact, pain is a place of special intimacy with him. We've got some folks in our church right now that I know of who are going through exceptionally difficult seasons. And maybe you are in that position now. Maybe you've been in that place where you just don't understand. Like, Lord, why? And you may hear me and think, Cale, you don't understand. And I told this to folks on Sunday. You know what? You're probably right. I don't know your story. I may not know your story, and I have not gone through what you've gone through. And so I probably don't understand. But Jesus does. Jesus was the man of sorrows, is the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Jesus stepped out of his perfect home of heaven into our broken world. And he was whipped and flogged and mocked and spit on and then abandoned by his Father, rejected, right? Abandoned by the Father at the cross so that you and I would never have to be abandoned. He suffered for us and he suffers with us. And so I think for the believer, right, we don't have just these platitudes or these cliches, right? Well, everything happens for a reason. That's not enough. That does not help in the midst of the dark season of the soul. But knowing we have a heavenly Father who loves us, who is with us, who comforts us, and who sent Jesus, his Son, to save us, and that there's a purpose and meaning to everything that we go through in this life, I think it gives the believer a perspective on suffering, an ability to have joy in the midst of it that nothing, no one else can provide. Jesus is what we need. We need intimacy with him. Let me pray for you, and then I want to encourage you to take some time and just to pray for yourself this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you. God, that you love us the way that you do. Thank you for Jesus and for his sacrifice at the cross and his resurrection 3 days later that proves that he is who he says he is. Thank you for new life in him. And God, I pray for anyone who is suffering today, anyone who's going through just a dark season, Father. They may not feel you or see what you're doing, but Father, I pray that you would comfort them. And God, I pray that they would see and hear these promises from your word, and they would cling to those promises. They would cling to you, Father, knowing that as they hold on to you, Father, you first are holding on to them. God, I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Take some time to pray for yourself.